This is Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio with Bobby Norris.
Good evening, guys. It is Bobby here, and we are live on FUBAR Radio for another amazing episode of Access All Areas. How are you, Ellen?
I'm great, hon. How are you?
Really good, thank you, girl. Really good. So, as you lovely lot, I will know, we always deliver. We're here to serve and spill the tea. And this week is no different. And I'm joined in the studio by Apprentice winner Rachel Walford, fresh out of the house, fresh winning and getting a lovely little partnership with the Lord himself. So I'm excited for that. And then we've got a little bit of Drag Race royalty joining us. It's Miss Scarlet Envy from UK versus the World. So it's going to be an absolute good one. But as we know, we all start the show with a little bit of showbiz gossip. And this week I've got the lovely Emily, showbiz writer for Heat and Closer. I bottled the surname there. I've got to be honest, people. At the top of the show, I've got a phobia of pronouncing names wrong. I've literally thrown myself under a bus here. Vicky? It's Emily Vicky.
It's all right.
It's a mouthful of veneers. It's very hard to get your mouth around.
We had about a 10-minute conversation before we went live about the surname.
And I thought, shall I blag in to say the lovely Emily Showbiz? And I thought, nah, fess up, Bobby, fess up. It will teach me for next time. So lovely, Emily. What's been going down in Showbiz Town?
A lot. A lot has been going on. So, very excited.
Yes.
Taylor Swift released her new album.
Yes.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
Yeah. Like,
I have a name tattooed on my leg.
What?
Shut up, do you?
Yeah.
Oh my God, we have to see this.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Taylor's version, yeah, I've got it tattooed on my leg. Wow. So I'm like.
Love that. That's a Swiftian art.
Isn't it? Yeah. So she released a new album, which is obviously all very exciting. And we knew it was going to be Shade. Like, we knew she was going to be coming for the men, which we love to see, obviously.
We love it. Yeah.
Obs.
But in particular, obviously, she dated Matt Healy from 1975.
Mm-hmm. For like a hot second.
Yeah. But this proper cracks me up. So, you know Nick Grimshaw?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There's a photo of him with Taylor Swift making the rounds, and people think it's Matt Healy.
I saw this today, and actually, I was shocked because, like, it was like the Mirror,
like
the Daily Star,
outlets.
The Red Tops. And I'm like, surely you know who Matt Healy is. Like, surely.
Surely.
They look slightly similar, but, they don't look that
alike.
There's
people in America messaging Nick Grimshaw being like, yo.
No.
Yeah.
Even though his name on Instagram would be, I'm guessing, not Matt Healy.
Yeah.
So the minute you click on, would you feel still got to just abuse this geezer anyway?
He had to do like a TikTok and was like, this isn't me. And like the screenshots from all the different news outlets that have put it. It's like, like Ellen said, it's major.
It's the major papers. I was like, what is going on? And he done a TikTok going, guys, it's not him in the photo. That's me.
But he's
splashed with Taylor all across, and they were just friends, right?
Yeah.
Grimshaw and
I can't imagine they was much more than friends. Love you, Nick.
That'd be a story.
That would be top of the press.
We all think she's shading Matt Healy, but really she's coming for Nick Grimshaw.
She's coming for Nick.
Exactly.
I just think it was Matt that she was shading, because I see that the internet has gone wild, as they do.
Yeah.
And we're here for it.
Of course.
And people are reading between the lines. There's a certain track in particular, isn't there? Which people think might be about Miss Kim K herself.
Yeah. Ooh. The Amy one.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like, thank you, Amy.
Thank you, Amy.
Capital K, capital I, capital M.
And no other capitals. The only capitals are K-I-M in the title of the song.
What? Yeah, and she makes a comment, like one of the lyrics is like, and your children will come home singing my songs.
Oh my God, I love that. Oh, I need to listen to this song now.
Oh,
it's good. I mean, I'm biased. She can release like the worst song in the world and I'll be like, oh, she's a poet.
What's your thoughts, hon? Do you think allegedly, we don't know. We're just speculating. We're just talking about what you guys are talking about on the socials.
That's it. We don't deal with facts.
We don't deal with facts.
We deal with gossip.
It's our own opinions, our own thoughts, and as I say, social speculation.
Mm.
But babe, your thoughts on it. Do you think it's about Miss Kardashian?
Yeah. Surely. I think even the lyrics, it's just about a girl like kind of coming for her and then her Taylor Swift still succeeding and all that kind of thing while she's getting backlash from this one girl. And she tells it a story as if it's in high school.
Mm.
But I feel like it's just a metaphor for all the stuff that went through, like Kanye West and
but
Kardashian.
It felt like high schoolish, didn't it?
Oh my God, it did. Yeah, it did. With all the recordings and the Snapchat. Yeah. And it was just, probably.
Kim is older than Taylor as well. You think she would have taken the high road and been like, I'm not going to stoop and all this. But no, she went for it.
The mad thing about it, if I'm correct, I believe I am. Don't come for me. but this all started around Kanye, the beef with Taylor.
Yeah.
Which... it's weird now because obviously Kim and Kanye ain't together anymore. Yeah. And it's kind of, it's like Kim's inherited this beef in the divorce. Yeah.
Mm. I know, yeah. You can get the kids, but you also get the Taylor Swift drama.
You get the Taylor beef.
That's basically what it is. Yeah. But I feel like Kim Kardashian is probably just going to be like, meh.
Oh, it's no skin off her minge either way. She couldn't give a fuck.
Honestly.
It's content for the next series. And I love Kim. I love a Kardashian and a Jenner. So I'm not shading them.
No, I love them too.
But I think Chris will be sat in her office thinking, right, storyline for the next season.
Yeah.
And I'll make you right, Chris.
Literally. Yeah. Isn't it so funny that stuff that goes bad in the Kardashians' lives, they can just make
it's content.
I know, yeah. They probably saw it and was like, great, more money.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, it's all pounds, dollar signs.
I know. I want to be in that position in life. You're already a billionaire, and then you're like,
always want more.
Yeah, always want more. And if anyone tries to take me down, I'll just make it into a TV show.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And make more money.
You slag me off, you just made me money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. So, moving on from Tay, what else has caught your eye, my love?
Baby reindeer. I don't know whether you guys
not sure
know
if you've heard
about
of it,
that, or I don't
never
know.
Never heard of it.
I am obsessed. Now, I drive the girls in FUBAR. Wild because I'm always and on my stories on socials, I'm always every week I put out on a story. I'm like, right, guys, what can I watch? Ain't always got to be Netflix, other streaming services are available. It can be terrestrial, I don't mind, but I like recommendations on what to binge.
But he never takes them, that's the problem.
I never take them. And Ellen, literally, I did it another way because she was like, I'm just going to have to block you because you're trolling me now.
Literally, he's trolling me, guys. And I know he's trolling me, but he's doing it in a very subtle way.
I'm doing a Taylor Swift.
I tell him exactly what to watch, what's good, and they're really good stuff. And then he just totally ignores me, puts a box up, asks his followers, what to watch, guys? I'm like,
I have to throw out to the fans and followers because they are the best. They've got and to be fair, you've hit the nail on the head.
With the
fans
baby
and
reindeer.
Followers though, they are amazing. So yeah, moving back to Baby Reindeer, I was balls deep into it really, which is a bad analogy because of the nature of the show, but it's very rare that I can binge a whole set in one night.
Yeah,
but it was one of them. I think I love that it was only half hour episodes, but even if they was 2 hour episodes, I was gonna binge that, like,
totally.
You must have watched it very early days because you recommended it last week and I think it'd only been out a week then.
I actually didn't. I only watched it properly at the weekend. I'd watched one
episode. So you recommended something you hadn't seen.
I'd watched one
episode. She's a fraud.
This is why he doesn't listen to you.
Yeah.
She's recommending me shit.
Listen, watch the other day. I'm true crime. I'm a true crime hun, but all the true crime things that I... But I was slow to get onto this only because I don't really like... you know, dramas. But then when I heard that it's like based on a true story and the actor is playing himself, I was like, okay, hang on, like I need to watch this because it's true crime basically.
And 25 minutes as well.
It's an amazing amount of time.
And I think what's lovely about it, which seems a really strange word to use for it, and I don't, no spoilers here, guys, but, or maybe a couple, but but what's amazing about it is I kind of like that the main guy who it actually happened to is the lead actor.
Yeah. Mm.
I like that he don't shy away from what you would consider his own part in situations. Like, he's literally like balls on the table and he's just very open about it. So he's not completely just made himself a victim,
totally,
which is a really refreshing way to look at it.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the fact as well, because traditionally on TV, in films and whatever, when you have a stalker, it's kind of seen as a pervy old man on the really pretty blonde girl.
Yeah.
You don't really ever see it the other way round. And I kind of think it's really refreshing, even if it just starts this conversation.
Yeah.
Because in all walks of life, you haven't got to be in the public eye. With social media now, the world has got a lot smaller. Back in the day, you needed someone's number or address to kind of stalk them.
Yeah.
Now you can stalk the world and his dog.
Yeah.
Just on social media. And yeah, it's a scary thing.
Yeah.
Totally, totally. Well,
yeah, because also the actor's had to come out, hasn't he? Because apparently the fans have realised who the woman was.
Or yeah, they think they know who yeah, she is. They, yeah. It's not been confirmed.
Exactly. They're harassing her and he's come out and been like, yo, we don't want to be doing that. And also, did you watch the show? Stop stalking the person that was the stalker.
Yeah, don't stalk the stalker, allegedly.
She's going to come for you.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to learn your lesson. It's
yeah,
not,
literally. The only thing is, right, so spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, like, mute it for 2 seconds. She's done her time.
Mm.
Now she's out. If this is the girl that the internet sleuths have found, like, isn't prison about rehabilitation? Like, maybe she had some counselling in there and she's a different person now, but yeah, now she has to relive it years later.
But I don't know if I'm right in saying this, and I don't know if I've seen an interview or an article, but I don't think she did time. I think that was a fictionalised part of the show.
Oh.
But I think the woman in, and get in touch if I'm wrong, I think in real life, she didn't do time.
Really?
Yeah.
But to be fair...
But they've tried to change it as much as they can. Yeah. But, you know, we're in a world now, as I was literally just saying seconds ago about social media and the rise of the internet. It's not that it's a new thing anymore. You know that new thing?
The rise of
you
the
know,
dialogue.
You can go surfing the waves of the web, www. But people are armchair detectives. And like yeah, you, Will, I'm the biggest true crime boy in yeah, the world. Like, yeah, I get scared watching it. Like, on my own, I can't be in the house on my own and watch like a horror film.
Mm.
That freaks me out,
yeah,
which is weird because it's a film.
Yeah.
But I can watch true crime.
Yeah. Same as you.
Isn't that weird?
I can listen to true crime going to sleep. My partner yeah, thinks I'm going to kill him someday. He's like, you're listening to a podcast about a body being chopped up and buried in the woods and I'm sleeping soundly.
Yeah. It's like...
about yeah, a woman killing her husband and he's like...
Ugh. Yeah, but it's like Teddy Bear's Picnic to us.
Yeah.
But I can't watch, and I never have it, and no shame or shade on these franchise of films. But a lot of my mates and family are obsessed with Saw. Them films.
I love the Saw films.
It's too psychologically disturbing for me. But like you say, if someone... Yeah. It's mad.
It's like, it's mostly, I think, the true crime things. It's the story surrounding it. And you have empathy for the victim, obviously. Yeah.
And because it's real, and I think that's half the appeal with Baby Reindeer.
Yeah.
When something's a true story, you can relate a lot more to it.
Totally.
But also, I'm very big on, and I've realised this, I've kind of deep dived into my psyche.
Oh.
And this ain't even from the therapist. This is just me working out myself. I think I'm more comfortable watching things where there's been repercussions at the end.
Mm.
So if someone's done their time, they've been caught. The ones that drive me wild are, and the clues in the title, like mysteries.
Yeah.
I'll watch it and at the end, I'm then pissed off because I want an outcome.
Yeah.
And then my friend was like, Bobby, it's called a murder mystery.
What did you think was going to fucking happen?
Yeah. Like even today, Jack the Ripper, I want to know who he is. We're never going to now, but there's certain crimes in life I want to know what happened to. Maddie McCann, I want to know what happened.
Yeah. Oh my God.
A story in America, JonBenet. There's certain true crime stories. I need to know before I die.
The Pageant Girl.
The Pageant Girl. There was a new documentary done by 60 Minutes Australia about her recently.
JonBenet
Ramsey.
No.
And basically, they were saying that they've definitely cleared anybody in the family. Because remember, her father was being accused for years.
That's right.
So they've cleared because they found, this is awful, but they found, I know this is a showbiz podcast, but our live show.
We bring it all, peaks and troughs, light and shades.
But they found semen on her clothes and it doesn't match anyone in the family.
Oh.
So, there you go.
So, the thing is, with the rise of technology now, is that the word? Science, technology? I don't know. That's another show. This ain't a science show. But the rise of forensics.
Yes.
I wonder if these old school crimes... people will, even if the people are now dead, but if it rules out people and people are more accountable, because I guess science is changing and evolving all the time. Back in the day, they didn't have these. But certain stories like that I am obsessed with. So, guys, I can't recommend enough Baby Reindeer. Mm. I mean, it is, as we say, there's some dark elements, obviously, because of the nature of it. But like a lot of us, it's number one in the UK. I think it's smashing it in the States. Mm-hmm. It is binge-worthy TV. Mm-hmm. So give it a go. But babes, I can't do showbiz this week without touching upon the queen herself, Miss Vicky B.
Yes.
So tell everyone at home. So obviously, I literally saw the lovely David posting on Instagram, Mr. Beckham, and it was a clip. He's like a little content creator. I love him.
he got
his phone out, and he literally, and the girls, it wasn't like it was set up to be filmed. No. It was very much having a lovely time at Mabeze.
I know the
So it was at Victoria's 50th. She looked absolutely stunning. Yeah, they all did. Mm. David gets his phone out. Obviously, the DJ, I don't know if they requested. It's a very short video, about 20 seconds. I don't know if they went, oh, let's have some shits and giggles and put a Spice Girls song on. Or if the DJ thought, this would be fucking amazing. I've got, if I was a DJ, I absolutely would.
I would be playing their whole first album.
So he, So he puts Stop on. And David literally just gets his phone out and gets about a 20-second video of the girls. Well, the internet is gagged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also love that he took it like a selfie.
Yeah.
Like a fan. He's like... dancing with the phone. I'm like, David, you are the number one fan. I love it.
I know,
but yeah, obviously, so everyone's cute. Thinking there's going to be like a major, massive reunion.
Oh, I wish.
Do you think there's going to be a reunion? Because Mel B keeps slipping up and she's nearly going to be get kicked out.
Oh, she's a little minx. She's a tease.
She's a minx, but you can tell she's terrified in interviews now because she got reprimanded for the last
interview.
Yeah. She said, yeah, we're doing a reunion.
Yeah, quick tease.
Yeah.
I love you, Mel.
Literally. But do you think they will do like a proper reunion or just a one show comeback?
I think they'll maybe do like a one show.
You're right.
I don't reckon they're going to go on a tour. Because what would they do? Like a world tour? Because they're huge, global, aren't they? It's not like...
I'd go see the
Spice. One not only at the O2, I would go.
That's what I think they'll do that. Because do you know what? The Spice Girls was my first concert when I was 7.
No way.
I honestly think there's so many of us. It's the nostalgia around it. I was the biggest Spice boy. Mm. I was obsessed with Victoria Beckham, which I always say is ironic because now I'm very obsessed with David Beckham for different reasons. But just Team Beckham, don't worry, Vicky, I'm not after you, man. He's a salt, though. She knows that. Because I was like, when she puts on Instagram, she goes, you're welcome.
Yeah.
But she just gets him doing odd jobs.
All these tourist traps. I'm like, that is your husband.
Yeah, I love it.
So
love it.
Obsessed.
What was your favourite Spice Girls song?
Victoria was my favourite. Oh, God, that's hard. That's like saying pick your favourite kid.
I know.
I haven't got any kids, but it's hard. But I'm here for a tour. Sadly, I don't think it's going to happen. Mm. Prove me wrong. The girls did it very recently, didn't they? Minus Victoria.
Yeah.
If I'm doing it, I want Victoria.
Yeah, there's no point.
Because to me, she was my Spice Girl. We could all relate to one.
Totally, yeah.
And as a little gay boy, not that Victoria was ever a little gay boy, but she was the one I related to because I'm very posh.
Right.
If you can't tell.
Obviously.
Posh. So I think in honour and homage to Queen Vicky B., you've got a lovely little game for us, Emily.
I do.
Let's play it then, girl. What is it?
Spice Girls quiz.
Okay. Ah. This might be one that we can do.
Yeah, because we're shit. We were talking about Lassie for about 6 minutes, which is a long time on live air.
I'm expecting full marks from both of you.
Okay. We'll do our best.
I don't want to lose my gay badge. Yeah, Ellen won. We should do like Ant and Deck. We should have a scoreboard.
Yeah, we should. We'll get that going next week.
That's such a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, so who was the last Spice Girl to join the band?
Emma.
Victoria.
It was Emma.
Absolutely was.
I barely finished the question. Bobby was like, Emma!
Yeah.
How do you know
I believe because... Sorry, I've just been told in me, we've got to make it really quick, which I'm very sad about. I could do the whole show on this. The reason it's because, factually, I don't know the ins and outs, so we've got so alleged, don't say. there was another girl in Emma's place. I don't think it worked out. Like, the chemistry wasn't right, or I don't know the ins and outs.
I want to know what she's doing now. Let's do a deep
dive. Imagine, though. Thoughts and prayers.
Anyway,
so, Emma replaced.
Okay. What was Jerry's iconic Union Jack dress made out of?
Gucci. Oh, tea towel.
Was it actually a tea towel?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
you got a chance.
I haven't got it.
You're getting annihilated.
Oh my God.
Right, next, let's get as many questions as we can before I cut myself.
What are the Spice Girls originally called?
Saucy Girls.
No. I don't think even had girls in it.
No, it's one word.
Yeah.
I don't know. Touch.
Which of their famous songs was reportedly written in 10 minutes?
Mama.
Wannabe.
Yes, Wannabe.
What? Bobby.
Which Spice Girl made a cameo on Sex and the City?
I'm going to go Mel B.
I'm going to say Victoria, although unlikely.
You're both wrong.
Oh. Jerry.
It's Jerry. Yeah. Samantha, darling.
It was Vicky or Jerry.
Final question. Which incredibly famous politician called the Spice Girls his heroes when they met and said it was one of the greatest moments of his life?
Tony Blair.
No.
Gordon Brown.
No. Not you.
Politician?
Not you guys running out of politicians. I know. You know.
Yeah, this ain't the politics show. Shit.
Trump.
No.
No. I don't...
David Cameron.
No.
Oh.
Gordon Brown.
Would King Charles be seen as a politician?
No, he's also... I'm pretty sure he's not British.
King Charles.
Oh, fuck. No. I'm fucked with British... I don't know British
bloody...
Do you
want me to tell you?
Yeah.
Nelson Mandela.
Was he a politician?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I told was you he was a human rights activist. I suppose that's what he was, right? Politician.
I've going to complain about that. I've got
to
say my...
I've got to ask this question.
Can we speak
it was
to
a
man?
President. Oh, no. I didn't know.
Iconic.
See, that's why I love my job. I get an education. Anyway, guys, thank you so much.
Thank you
Everlo.
So much.
Before I let you go, though, I'm going to throw to Bobby on the street. And I've been pounding the streets of London today. Thankfully, I didn't get rammed by the horses that are loose.
Jesus,
on that. Have a little look on that. It's a terrible thing. There's horses on the loose. I think they've caught them now. Anyway, I'm good and I've got to access all areas perfectly. But in honour of the Queen, Vicky B, I had to go and ask people, if you was a Spice Girl or boy, what would your Spice name be and why? I'm going to throw to you quickly, Ellen, before I play this week's box.
Barbie Spice. I don't know. I like that.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh,
it's really hard. That is.
What would yours be?
Oh. No, I hadn't actually thought of what mine would be.
Can't even think of what I'd like.
Don't know.
Spice.
That's
right.
So good.
Thank you again, Emily.
You
love
so
you. We'll have you back very soon. Excited for it already. I love the Spice Girls quiz. We should
Brilliant.
Do Spice Girls every week.
Yeah, because you win.
Right, guys. Here is this week's A Bobby on the Street.
Crazy Spice.
And yeah. Why? Are you crazy?
Yeah. Mental. I'm actually named Saffron, which is a spice.
I would probably be Sarcastic Spice.
Thirsty Spice, because I like drinking.
Emotional Spice, because I'm just so emotional with everything that I do. Always have been, I think, always will be.
I would be Hungry Spice, because I'm always eating. So
I can't lie, maybe like Stoner Spice.
I would have to say I would be Dramatic Spice. Yeah, all about the drama.
Loved it, guys. Amazing suggestions there. So we're going to go to a little break now. And then I'll be joined by Rachel Walford. This is the Apprentice winner. And we'll be getting all the tea.
Access All Areas continues next. FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio presents.
Joining us now, we have Muhammad Ali, author who is currently writing a book about India under Narendra Modi. Mr. Ali, thank you so much for joining us. And so I wondered if you could give us perspective to our listeners, what life is like for an Indian Muslim right now. Are they at risk of violence at any point in their life?
So right now, Muslims have stopped. They're very cautious not to appear as Muslims in day-to-day lives. Like they've stopped wearing skull caps, they've stopped eating meat in public spaces. And what has happened is that every idea and everything associated with Muslims have been illegitimized and have been criminalized in India today.
Every Thursday, FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to Access All Areas, and yes, we are live on FUBAR Radio. Now, we've just been joined in the studio by this year's Apprentice winner, Rachel Walford. How are you, darling?
I'm good, thank you, guys. Thank you
How
so much
you?
For having me.
So, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
How does it feel? Like a winner.
How long?
How's it feel?
Oh, it's still settling in, guys. I'm honestly being serious. It's been a very strange couple of weeks, but it feels amazing, and yeah, I can't believe what an opportunity I've been given.
Because you guys don't find out until pretty last minute. Do you?
So it's common knowledge that we do film two different endings. And, you know, you are waiting almost a year to find out, which is a long time. Phil and I, both, you know, Phil and I both knew we were in the final and up with a chance of winning, but we've waited until this point, really.
So what happens to the business for that year? Because if you don't know, are you still just both cracking on as normal? There's no investment at that point. There's no help from Alan.
I didn't call him that just yet. But it's a weird year, really. So I've not had the investment up until this point. So for the last year, I've kind of cracked on as usual. And there's been things I wanted to do with the business, which I've held off doing just in case I've kind of won. But I've also, you know, if opportunities have come my way, I've still taken them, if that makes sense. But it's been a weird year because you can't really plan. Now it's like
it's
a weight
limbo.
Now it's like I almost feel quite a weight off my shoulders. I'm like, great, like I know where I'm going now this year. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And always nice to see 250 grand going in the bank account.
<That's> so good. For business purposes only.
I'm out of cold. I'm not saying you ain't booked an holiday to the long dates.
No,
I did think that was Gucci.
No, this is a River Island number, you know.
River Island, you know.
High street fashion.
Wow.
I love it.
So has your business changed at all then in that year from when you applied to The Apprentice to now? How has your business changed and evolved?
I mean, for the last year, well, for pretty much the best part of the last year, people didn't know I was on The Apprentice. And, you know, like I said, I've kind of cracked on as normal. And the business has grown regardless of me being on the show. So, you know, it's only been knowledge I've been on the show for 12 weeks. So up until that point, the business has been growing. You know, I just opened up my second site early last year, just before I went on the show. So my main focus for the last 12 months has been pushing my Harrogate site in North Yorkshire and making sure, you know, I'm getting the people in. So the last year, you know, I got out the show, finished filming on the Sunday night in London. I was back to Leeds on the Monday morning, straight back into work. And it's literally just been head down for the last 12 months.
Does Alan not know for that year? Does he still have access to your business stuff and whoever the contestants may be? So just on a generic series, for instance, not necessarily just yours, just the process. When he picks his final two and you've got to wait that year, can he see what's happened in that 12 months? Something to sway his mind?
Absolutely. Like, you know, he can ask the questions, if
any
that makes
point,
sense.
Yeah,
of course, and rightly so. You know, it's lot of money.
Yeah. He ain't giving you a tenner and a meal deal.
Exactly. Do you know what I mean? I think the further I got into the process and, like, with hindsight of what we went through, you understand why that process is so tough, because it shouldn't be easy to get that 250K.
No.
It shouldn't be easy to go into business with someone like Lord Sugar. You know, you have to earn it. And I think it's really important that people know it's not just as easy as it... Well, not. I know it doesn't look easy, but it's harder than it looks. And it's a real job interview.
Yeah, absolutely. So what does it feel like when you get that phone call? Because you don't find out until minutes before filming the after show, do you?
At
the very end.
Exactly.
So you're both in your dressing rooms or the green room.
Yeah.
When the phone rings and it pops up Alan or Lord Sugar to you, what does he say on the phone at that point? Does he go, hello, darling, it's your lucky day. Want 250 bags?
I'd love if he said that. All right, darling.
He gets straight to it, guys. Like, you've seen him on The Apprentice. There's no messing around. He's like, Rachel, good news, you're the winner. So he didn't make me wait. There was no, you know, on the show, there's like all that momentum and he's creating it and he's swaying between you both. Yeah. It was like, you're the winner. And I appreciate that.
What,
you know,
did
I'd
you
wait
do?
Nearly a year. Yeah.
What did you do in that moment when you got that phone call? Were you screaming?
I was with the lovely producer of The Apprentice, Paul. He was with me at the time. I wasn't with my family. I wasn't with, you know, any of my friends. And I found out and it was pure shock. And I think Paul could see it on my face. I was just like, I need a minute. But I didn't actually show any emotion, I don't think, until we watched it actually live and as in the episode last Thursday. So when I was with my family and friends, that's the first time I really, and I'm not a crier, I was bawling my eyes out. And I think, because you're with your friends, your family,
and it's real, something tangible. When it's an episode, and it's, because when you're just in the moment and you've waited that year, so that kind of, you go from the high of filming and being on the ball all the time and that pressure, then life goes kind of back to normal for 12 months. And then you kind of have that reality where Alan's on the dog and bone telling you he's giving you 250 grand and that he's your business partner.
Absolutely. It's a weird year, guys. That's all I can describe it as. You know, you're waiting for potentially a life-changing moment.
Yeah.
But you also have to prepare yourself for potentially being runner-up. And, you know, I've had to think in my head, if I don't win the investment, which obviously I'm not in that position, but if I had to also think about the plan going forwards if that was the case. And I think that's what's crazy and what probably viewers don't realise, that Phil and I have just been through for the last 12 months.
Yeah. And it's one thing to people that invest in a show for 12 weeks. It's 3 months of their lives, and then people crack on to the next thing. Do you know what I mean? But for you, it's not just a show. It's a life. It's your livelihood. There's Absolutely. So much more than just a TV show. And that's what I love about The Apprentice, because it's... Some people go, oh, it's a reality show, which I don't kind of know if it can fall under that. Maybe it kind of does in a way, but it's not a reality show as there's other reality shows. You know what
exactly,
I mean?
Exactly, like, exactly. And, you know, Bobby, someone said to me on the show, I was so serious all the time. And that, like, this is me, you know, like all smiley and happy. Yeah. But I was serious because I wasn't there as a joke. You know, I'd left my family. Mm-hmm. I'd left my business. Yeah. I was away for 9 weeks straight. There's no going home. There's very little contact with home. So I was serious because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a blonde girl from Leeds. I wanted to be taken seriously. Yeah. I didn't want to be the one that they all take the mick out of for giving it a go. I wanted to be taken seriously. So if that meant having a bit of a stern face on me and, you know, speaking when only to be spoken, like that was the approach I took, and it paid off.
And the thing is, a show like The Apprentice, if you was running around the house just slut dropping and talking filthy jokes, I don't think Alan would have picked you anyway. So there's a kind of a fine line. Yeah, you know what I mean?
There was a different life when those cameras were off, and us girls in that bedroom, we discussed everything. Right. It was literally like being back at uni. It was brilliant. It was
were
so,
you allowed
so nice.
To like have like a few bottles of wine, cheese,
absolutely
boards, like,
not
chat?
There was no no.
Oh,
we were given half. No, don't. We were given half a glass of prosecco if we won a task. And let me tell you, it goes straight to your head when you've not been drinking,
because your tolerance goes down.
Honestly, I was so happy. I had half a glass of prosecco. I couldn't wait. Honestly, but
so you're not allowed to drink the whole like 12 weeks.
If you win a task, you know, you get a glass of prosecco or whatever. But no, it's a very sober house.
Wow. So what's the situation now? Because obviously you found out maybe a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Are you and Lord Sugar, does he just like WhatsApp you? Do you just wake up one day and it says Alan on WhatsApp and you just and it slid in? Like, how does this work? Because it must be a strange situation.
I mean, I have got his WhatsApp, you know, me and Phil.
What's his photo on WhatsApp?
It's a really nice smart photo.
Is it him in the boardroom?
No.
Have you WhatsApped him yet?
No. You know what? No, I haven't, because it's early days. Like, it's
now, take the piss.
Now it's common knowledge.
Yeah.
We can finally like get on with the working relationship and start developing the business. But, you know, I've only just kind of started working with him as of the last few days, really. Yeah. So it's all, you know, early days, and I'm looking forward to what comes of it. And yeah, it's really exciting.
Do you have to wait till the point of winning to get a follow off of him? Because I'm guessing he doesn't follow everyone that's ever been on the show. So I guess he's strategically to not give the game away, because as we know, we was talking about baby reindeer. Mm. There's internet sleuths out there now.
Oh, there is.
Oh yeah.
And people look at, because I've had it in the past, and I know a lot of people in the public, I do, they're going, you don't follow her anymore. What's gone on
there?
And
they think you're falling
people
out.
Look at followers. So if he just randomly followed who was going to be the winner a year ago.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So Phil and I got a follow a few days before the final episode, and we both messaged each other, and I was like, Mum, I've made it.
I love it.
Lord Sugar is following me on Instagram.
Has he unfollowed Phil now?
No. We love Phil.
Oh, we all love Phil. He's a very handsome man as well.
He is.
But I wonder if he has to be seen to follow both finalists and then decide unfollow.
I'm surprised he done that, actually, because you think journalists would be all over that to see who he's following.
He waited until it was common knowledge that there was just the two of us left.
You can see why he's a multi-millionaire, but he's a good business man.
So savvy.
He knows what he's doing. And do you know, like, your business is in fitness, and obviously you just won The Apprentice now, so both industries are very, like, male-dominated. Mm-hmm. How did you find, like, basically coming out on top in both of those industries? Like, you've just opened a second fitness centre now, and you also just won The Apprentice.
Yeah.
How does it feel like being a woman in that position?
I mean, I personally love it. You know, I think it feels amazing, and I think there should be more representation of women in the industries. I think the thing I've struggled with is not realising how much some people don't like that. And I hadn't really experienced any trolling until last Thursday when I won. And I was getting messages from men saying I'd won because I was basically completing a quota of we need to have X amount of women winners. And I think it's the last 6 years it's been a female winner. And I think
that doesn't make sense then, because surely it should be a male if we're trying to balance it.
But I think what's frustrating is So what if it's been six women that have won in a row? That's an amazing thing.
Let the best person get the gig.
It's on skill and ability.
Yeah. And gender don't come into it.
Exactly, and who fits with Lord Sugar. And that doesn't mean Phil is a bad business person. He's got an amazing business. He's great. Lord Sugar just decided that I was the one that fitted with how he works. Mm. And I think, that was quite frustrating because I'd had so much amazing support and I still have it now, you know, especially in the Northern support. It's been amazing. But to have those like angry messages on Friday came quite a shock, actually.
I feel like these are going to be real fragile men who like, you know, their egos are just too big and the world is not big enough for them. They just need to take down women.
Yeah. Men with limp dicks. Do you know what I mean? Like, want to just have a tear up at people and try and bring people down in the happiest moment of your life, I'm guessing.
It's disgusting. Yeah.
Yeah, talking about, so you've just touched upon like trolling and stuff, and obviously when you win The Apprentice, it just elevates yourself and your business to a whole nother level. How do you feel? Because obviously it's quite written about it in press and on social media. It's been said a lot that in articles alleging that your business never made a profit since it opened. How do you feel about that? Is there any truth in them claims? Because this is now... What I love about Access All Ears is when you kind of get a guest in, I like to put something out there and kind of give people that platform and that voice to kind of say, do you know what?
This is
my side. So,
100%. I really appreciate you asking me that, actually, because that was a really frustrating article to read. And I'll tell you why. So, you know, I opened my business up in the middle of COVID. So one of those financial years that article is referring to, I was closed for 9 months, okay?
Wow.
So they're referring to 3 months of trade.
Oh.
But my rent was going out every month. I had other costs, energy costs, et cetera, going out every month. So yeah, you are going to make a loss.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other year they're referring to is the year I invested in my second site with my own retained profits, my own money that I've, you know, I've done myself in to try and make the second site work.
Yeah.
You know, I've invested money into the economy. So naturally, when you open a second site up or a second business, the first year you do make a loss. That's business. That's what I advise every young person that's going into business. You won't make a profit until possibly year five. Right. It's taken me to this point in my career to make a profit in my business. Mm-hmm. And I think going back to that, like, why is the media bringing myself down when I was 27 years old when I went on the show and I was operating a business in the middle of a cost of living crisis. Mm-hmm. I kept all my staff afloat. I kept my rent afloat. I didn't pay myself at points to make sure everyone else was looked after. Mm. And now, you know, it's a completely different position. The business is profitable and, you know, everything's great. But I think, why dig at somebody who is contributing to the economy? We get such good reviews about our effect on people's mental health, not just physical. Like, our big thing is helping people's mental health, which is one of the reasons I went into this industry. So I think the frustrating things about those articles are, you know... Yes, on Company's House, I've got a director's loan of X amount, but that's the only person who the business owes money to is me, because I've lent my own business money. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Does it piss you off when you read stuff like that, or you see people, especially on certain social media, if everyone thinks that they're like they're going to use their platform and tear people down and just spew a little bit of hatred, like, do you know what I mean? Get well soon, babes, because there's a lot of people that are clearly just nothing going on in their lives.
Yeah.
But when you read something or you get someone on a certain social media site talking about your life and your business and kind of bringing it down, do you get pissed off?
I did at first. And then I think time helps. And also realising, like you just said, you know, they're people sat at home with not really anything else better to do.
Yeah.
And you look at the people that are commenting, they've got no followers and they're potentially fake profiles as well.
Totally.
Yeah. And I've had, you know, I've blocked a lot of people in the last week because anybody that throws anything my way about me or any of the other candidates, it's a straight block.
Do you know what? You're dead right. Block those people because you don't want to hear that stuff and they're going to keep coming back. But my mom said to me before, Ellen, they're only going to troll people that like have made it. Yeah. And are doing something. If you're sat at home doing fuck all, watching Netflix, Baby Reindeer, like, and doing nothing else with your life, you're...
Yeah, then people don't get trolled.
They don't get trolled.
Yeah.
So you know you're doing something, you're breaking the mold, you're stepping out of a comfort zone.
Absolutely.
When those people come for you. So use them as a badge of honour.
It's part of the territory, isn't it? And it's something that I'm going to have to learn to get used to because maybe I've been a bit sensitive to it. And I think... Naturally, like, I've spent my life building this business the last 4 or 5 years. So when someone comes in at it, it hurts.
Yeah,
of course. It's personal.
But it's business, but it's personal to me.
Yeah,
you know
of course,
what I mean?
Because you put your blood, sweat, and tears into a business.
So I think when people misread something, or you know they interpret figures, which is what happened in that said article, it's really frustrating because it's like I'm just a girl trying to give something a go here. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Why are you pulling me down? But I've, mm-hmm. Do you know what? I'm feeling a lot more positive about things now, and I think you have to. It comes with the territory.
Absolutely, amazing. And that's one of the sad things about, because your whole life, as I say, is going to change now because you're mm-hmm. very much in the public eye. Your mm-hmm. business partners with Lord Sugar, but trolls are always going to troll. I've spent so many years, I've campaigned for 5.5, maybe 6 years this year, going to Parliament, Downing Street, mm-hmm. trying to change the laws on trolling, because I can't believe that it's still allowed. I'm not taking away freedom of speech. Mm. Fuck me, I have opinions.
Yeah.
We all do. Mm. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But when you're throwing death threats and there's such a dark side to it, and I'm like, when you get messages from people and their kids are taking their own lives because life is hard enough at the minute, post-pandemic, cost of living. So if we've got kids, that not even just kids, just anyone that's taking their own lives because of trolls, and people go, don't like it, don't log on. Our lives are all online now.
We have the right to log on.
I
avoided TikTok last Friday, Saturday, purely because I've been getting these messages through. And it's like, I get quite a lot of like leisure out of sitting on TikTok and having a little scroll.
Yeah.
I felt like I couldn't go on because the notifications were coming through. And it's like, I've never had that.
Oh,
I used to, you know, I sit in the bath, I'm there, have a little scroll.
Yeah, having a little scroll.
I feel so chilled out. But for the first time, I couldn't do something that chilled me out. And I thought, but then you shouldn't really let them get away with it. But
no.
And
do you know what, Rach? You've got to lay in that bath, throw a lush bath bomb in, and go what? Fuck them. I'm Lord Sugar's business partner.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Rachel, for coming in.
Thank you so much
for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure. I look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, hon.
Guys, we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to be joined by Miss Scarlet Envy. See you in two.
Grab your backstage passes and prepare to access all areas.
Hey!
FUBAR Radio presents
All Areas.
Mark from Married at First Sight UK.
See, at the wedding, you told Sean you were 26, but you're actually 36.
Oh, yeah.
So drop in that decade. We ain't gone 1 or 2 years either side. What was going through your head when you pushed out? I'm going to shave off 10 years.
A 26. Third of your life.
Yeah.
It was instant reaction. As soon as anyone says to me, how old are you? I'm like 26. I just stopped counting after 26. Would I have told him? Probably not.
No. Ever?
Well, maybe when we're 80 years old and we've got the grandkids running round.
Except you wouldn't be 80 years old. You'd be 90. Yeah, you'd be 90.
I'd be 26 still. I'd be going around the corner for some more injections.
Politics Uncensored. Joining me now, the former leader of the Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn, MP. And there you are stood with hundreds of thousands of people at Glastonbury singing "Oh Jeremy Corbyn." What is that like?
It was quite extraordinary. It was an amazing experience, and I was very pleased we did it. The office got very excited about Glastonbury. Every single person in the office thought it was necessary for them to be at Glastonbury.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
Every
yeah.
single one said yeah. it's really necessary yeah. for them to yeah. come.
The Dating Show.
I'm friends with a fair few exes, and I think you can be friends with an ex, but I genuinely do. But I do think that it's timing is everything with that.
I think it depends what you class as a friend.
Yeah,
are you talking about someone you're going to hang out with on your sofa? Like if you've already shagged, isn't that a bit weird?
Think that's a different level of friend. I think that's a different level of friend. You can be friends with someone, but you can't be like best fucking friends with someone. I mean, I've got exes that I talk to about their current partners and whatever else, and they'll tell me about that sort of stuff. But I wouldn't say, oh, do you want to come over for fucking Chinese and chill on the sofa?
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to Access All Areas, live on FUBAR Radio. Now, as I said at the top of the show, we have got drag queen royalty joining us, Miss Scarlet Envy. Darling, how are you?
Hello.
Hi, Bobby. I'm good. Hi, Bobby. Hi, Ellen.
Hi, how are you?
I'm so good. Thank you for having me tonight.
You're so welcome. Sorry we're out of breath. Me and Elle just had to run to the toilet to have a wee.
It was we had about 1 minute, so that was fun.
It was very, very quick. So, babes, congratulations. another show under your belt. You've completed the franchise.
Well, yes, another notch in the belt for sure. I never imagined RuPaul would call me once on nonetheless three times. So wow. This has been fantastic.
You're doing something right, babe.
Well, thank you. She knows a bad bitch when she sees one, I guess, right?
Amen. Amen. How did this show compare to the others? So Drag Race UK versus The World. Obviously, it's the same franchise. And you know the gig by now. Third time, you're probably like, fuck it, I've got a piece of piss to you. How is it? Also, I've been in the UK and filming it. Is it a slightly different way of filming in the UK? Because we have things a bit different to the States, didn't we?
Yeah, you're definitely, I think you call it cheeky. You're cheekier over here, I would say. Which is, I think just means it's more fun.
Do you like cheeky?
Should I leave the room, guys? It's feeling a bit awkward.
Sorry, yes,
I came to London to find my sausage roll. It's still tucked away. I still have yet to find it, but I'm still on the lookout.
Did you go to Greg's? Not an ad, by the way, but Greg's. If anyone's listening from their PR team, please, get in touch because you can sponsor the show. Did you have a famous Greg's sausage roll in the UK, babe?
I've had many, yes, I have. Oh. Shout out to Greg's. Book a bitch.
Yeah. Book a bitch. We all want Greg's.
We want the ads on social media. Did you get any other sausage while she was in the UK, Scarlett?
Well, you know, I don't uncut and tell. So.
I love that.
Well, you're blushing, Bobby.
Ellie, it's you.
The feeling's mutual, honey. The feeling's mutual.
So what can fans expect then to see on the tour?
Well, we're so excited. You know, we're from all over the world. So if you're not familiar with the franchise, you know, we film in London. It's UK versus the world. Mm. So we're all coming for you, London. You know, we're all coming. We've got girls from the US, from the Philippines, from Holland, Spain, we come from everywhere. So it's really exciting on a personal level to be together with the girls. You know, we haven't seen each other in a long time. And seeing people on television is not the same. So it's really exciting to be together. We have an amazing group choreography throughout the show. And I mean, it's just, we've been working really hard. So, you know, we also have like all this amazing merchandise that's not available anywhere else, like not even online, you know. So there's just a lot of cool opportunities with the meet and greets before the shows.
What's the merch? I'm dying to know.
You know, we have autographed things and t-shirts and enamel pins and just cool things that are not available literally anywhere else.
Ooh,
so
fun. Come,
you know, visit the merch table and then bring it to me and I'll make sure to sign that.
Oh my God, love that.
Ellen, we'll have to check out the website and see where your tour dates. Is it completely sold out or is there still tickets available?
Lucky you, we still have a few tickets sold out. There are a couple of dates that are selling out very quickly, but we actually start tomorrow night in Glasgow. We also have Newcastle the following show.
Yeah, I'm an Essex boy. I'm a lot further down south in the UK. That's all like,
no. We're coming down.
When you come to London. Okay, we have to go. Bobby.
If you could throw a couple of tickets Newcastle, for mine and Ella's. Yeah. Mate, I love all these places. Bit of Manchester.
There you go.
Love Newcastle. But
yeah, that's a uni city, right?
I weren't clever enough to get into uni. I ended up on reality TV. I did a decade on reality TV. I didn't get degrees.
The uni dropout.
I'm a
reality
big fan,
TV.
By the way, Bobby. I'm a big fan.
Oh, are you? Thank you, babe. Likewise. Yeah, we'll have to have a little look. Me and Ellen, if there's anything available in London or down south, maybe we'll come along and see the show.
Let's do it.
Absolutely. We'll get you all into the London show. Yeah.
Slide in the old DMs and let me know if there's any tickets. So, babe, I'm interested to know, obviously, as we spoke about, this was third time on one of the franchise. If Ru calls again, and I guess when you see Ru pop up on the phone, I'm guessing he's saved under Ru. What else would you call him?
Mother.
You're going to answer that phone call. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Mm. If she says, babe, I've got another gig for you, would you do a fourth version? Wherever, I don't know what one you ain't done, but is there one that you would do? You have completed it. Every bit of your bingo card is complete.
You know, the body's not even cold yet, Bobby. I can't go back to more of this yet.
Does it take a while to kind of get over it?
You know, like yourself, I like to be on television. I think it's fun. I think it's fabulous to make TV. And, you know, never say never. I think that's what I think about that. Never say never.
Best motto in life.
When RuPaul calls, you definitely answer that phone call for sure.
Is there any other TV show that you think you'd like to do?
Oh, sure. You know, I've always loved the idea of being on EastEnders. I think that'd be fabulous.
Fun.
Fab.
You know, maybe at the Vic or something.
We
know,
could do it together.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, I'd love it. A little duo. It, you know? You we'll guys be could be a couple.
We'll go back behind the pub.
A little couple on EastEnders.
I love that.
I think I'd like a little role behind the bar in the Vic.
Bold, if you could own the Vic, yes. Okay? That's what's happening.
We take over. The gays are in town.
The gays are in town, taking over the Vic.
EastEnders ain't ready for this.
No, I love it. I tune in for the first time in about 10 years.
Get out of my pub. I love it. So when you're in the UK... Like we was talking about in terms of how Drag Race is filmed, and it's in so many countries now. It's absolute, it's wild. How many countries, like the obsession with it. Like people absolutely love this show. But there is a difference, as you know, from filming UK and States and stuff. Whilst you're here, and I'm grew up like our home turf, what kind of things do you like to watch? Obviously a bit of EastEnders. Do you like English comedy and TV? Because it is very different to... See, I love American TV.
I do as well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if American people love English TV.
Probably not.
I mean, I don't know. I think American people don't really care for anything that's not American, unfortunately,
okay. Yeah.
For the most part. I personally love British TV. Especially, I mean, I don't know. Like, we have iconic American television, like The Office, for instance. You know, a lot of things come from here. I think it's brilliant.
The Office is so good. Which is better, the American or the UK one?
I mean, I'm a big Steve Carell fan, so
yeah,
I
agree.
But yeah, I mean, I think agree. That you know, just that dry sense of humor, I guess, is what I'm saying. I think that the British sense of humor is so funny. I have a very dry sense of humor. A lot of people tell me I'm not funny, and I tell them just to fuck off, I guess.
Well, that
I don't
was
know.
Funny.
I like
well,
the
that was
I
funny.
I think you're funny.
I love that. So, moving away from how shows are filmed and like humor when it comes to UK and the States, in terms of regardless of if it was Drag Race or just you coming to the UK to do a few gigs, and you had never been on Drag Race. What do you think the difference is to the UK drag scene and yours back home?
Well, I would say, you know, I come from, I live in Los Angeles.
I love a bit of LA.
Yeah, I love LA. It's been really nice. I'm kind of new there still. I've only been there about a year and
a
half.
Oh, you've been to Craig's yet, the restaurant?
No.
Are
you asking me out, dear? You gonna take me to
dinner? I'll take you to Craig's. It's just down the road from the Beverly Hills Hotel. It is incredible. It's like a little Italian front room, it feels, but the food is incredible. I was in here, I got speaking to one of the waiters and he went, oh, we had a couple of the Kardashians in yesterday.
Stop.
I was like, fuck off, you're joking. I love a Kardashian and a Same. Jenner. Yeah. I'll take any of them. Not
yeah,
one of them
love,
was there.
I love the idea of a Kardashian eating a big bowl of pasta too.
I want to see it, yeah.
It's incredible. Sorry, I digressed into Kardashian land. It happens a lot. But in terms
you
of...
You do like American TV, don't you?
I'm obsessed with American TV. I kind of grew up watching it and talking to like kind of growing up, like my first interactions with, because I'm 21 now, Skull, I'll be honest.
Right, yeah. Happy birthday, by the way.
Yeah,
thank
you're
you.
You're getting on.
Yeah, 22 in a couple of weeks. when it comes to drag over here in the UK, and this is no shade, I remember, especially back in the day, like I think the first time I saw drag might have been Gran Canaria. I'm not sure if you know, like it's a very gay mecca. They've got like a, it's called the Umbro Centre. There's a lot of drag bars there.
Yeah.
But in the UK, our drag scene was very much, a man would whack his dress on, wouldn't even feel the need to shave his arms, his leg, maybe a red lip.
Yeah. But definitely a man in a dress.
Definitely a man and a wig that was about £10, like, like a Halloween costume.
Yeah.
And that was fine. It was clearly a geezer in a frock.
Yeah.
And then I started watching back in the day, obviously your show, and I was like, oh my God, they're stunning.
Beautiful.
Like,
beautiful.
Contoured to the gods.
Insane.
The hair, the makeup. And that alone, the effort and the money that must go into that. And I thought, gosh, if you knew what used to go on back here 15 years ago when we had Bert from the local boozer putting his missus dress on and telling like, a few jokes. And again, Bert keep
Bert,
putting her dress on.
I love a Bert.
I love
you
a Bert.
I'm from Brooklyn, so, you know, not a whole lot of change in terms of the shaving of the arms there, you know. I mean, you know, I think if you're entertaining, you're entertaining. I kind of love it, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic. I love the grittiness of where that history of drag comes from.
Yeah.
Because we're on television now, of course, we have to, you know, polish things up a bit. And, you know, RuPaul calls it, you know, her glamazon era that
love
she's
that.
In, you know. We're glamazons, you know, so we're, you know, we all, you know, grow up and, you know, figure things out eventually. But I love Bert and I channel Bert. I like to channel Bert. If you've got it, you've got it, you know.
So did you have those kind of gritty drag queens back in the day in America as well?
Yes, I was her.
Oh,
I've been her before. Oh, yeah, of course I've been her. You know, I come from, you know, kind of a grungy, you know, dive bar. You know, I work all the dive bars and whatnot. You know, there's
they're the best bars, though. Mm-hmm.
They're the ones you have the best crack.
They're
in.
The best bars. Some
they
of
do.
My best
they
nights
do.
Have been.
Yeah, they're the best crack.
In a dirty dive.
Yeah, dirty dive.
You know, I sing cabaret. I come from, you know, kind of this chanteuse cabaret, you know, dirty songs and kind of thing. So this is also very British, right? You know, to sing live and to hold an audience.
Sticky
you know.
Carpets. Someone chundering under the stall, being sick.
Yeah.
Someone doing a Jaeger bomb at the end of the bar. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can
yeah,
smell it
I
from
like
here.
To tell my audience before I start that the doors are locked, so don't bother going anywhere.
What's next for you? So once this tour ends and you go back to the States, so you said obviously like you like English TV and that. If Ru calls, you would take the call. Obs, who's not gonna? But is there any other show that you'd like to do, like reality wise? Like, so, but is
Traitors?
Yes,
that would be so. Would you be a traitor?
I want to do Traitors so bad. I think it's great. We also have an American version as well, but I think that I like the British version a bit better. We do. My friend Peppermint was on Traitors, but yeah, I think it'd be so fun.
Would
it'd
you like
so
to be
fun.
A traitor or a normal person?
Ellen, it's funny you ask that because yes, I would like to be a traitor, but I think everyone would think that right away. So I think it'd be better to not be.
Yeah. I think it would be much harder to be a traitor.
For me, it would almost be impossible because I've just got one of them faces. I don't even need to speak off the top. Like, my face
Your
will let you sense. Know how I feel. Like, my face, you can read me and know what's going on in my head and heart. Do you know? Like, 100%. Yeah. So. I could try and blow bean it, but people would be like, we know what this geezer's about.
Yeah. Also, we'd be like, why are you blushing every time I ask if you're a traitor? You'd be like, no, I'm not. You're blushing.
No, it is an amazing show.
You know, am I the drama? I don't know. Am I the traitor? Maybe I am. Who knows?
Oh, yeah, I love that.
I don't know. I'd love to see you as a traitor. That would be fun.
But I'm really excited. You know, we have a lot of things coming on. I mean, this tour has been, you know, this is huge. We kick it off, of course, tomorrow night, by the way, for anyone who is in Glasgow. You know, then we kind of make our way south. We have 9 dates throughout the UK. This is going to be so incredible. Mm. But after, you know, we wrap this tour, my EP drops. I have a new song called All Night. It's fantastic.
I love
it's been
it.
Doing really well. We're really excited about it. That's what I'm performing live on this tour. So if you are able to come to the shows, you know, we're all doing these incredible solo performances as well as all these performances together. So check out All Night. Thank you for streaming.
Yes.
Thank you for streaming on the
new.
He's the new Taylor Swift, honey.
Yes. Actually, I do have a book of poetry coming out as well. Taylor and I are in our poetry eras together, I guess.
I love
which
that
is,
for you.
Which is funny.
I
love
absolutely
that.
Love that. So I've literally, sadly, I've got 1 minute left before I have to wrap the show. Gonna quickly ask you a little question. I don't know if you can really answer it yet, but I'm guessing. So I want to ask what it's going to be like on the tour bus with all of you queens, which we might not be able to answer just yet because the tour hasn't started, but I'm sure paths have crossed and you've been in theatres together and stuff and dressing rooms. What's it like when you all get together? Chaos.
Yes. I don't, you know, a quick little information about a tour bus. We have a 16-person tour bus, I think. We have a couple of them, actually. And, you know, so we'll all be on the same one. We have, you know, like a little living situation, and we have what, like these little beds that look like coffins, basically. So this is how it works, you know. I think we expect not to get very much sleep whatsoever, just enough to do our best and be our best on stage. But I don't think we'll be doing much sleeping in the bus.
And when you girls wear as much makeup as you do, you can get away with that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. There ain't nothing a bit of contour can't do.
So true. So
true. Bobby, I actually just wear chapstick and a good attitude.
Absolutely.
It's all you need. I woke up
like this. Scarlett, thank you so much, darling, for joining me on Access All Areas. Me and Ella have absolutely loved having
loved
you on.
It. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me. You know, I'm a big fan, so I was super happy to chat with both of you.
Thank you. And let us know about available tour dates.
Yes, we'll be there.
Yes, I'll see you in London. You let me know how many tickets you want, and we'll see you front and center in the meet and greet, bitch.
Yes,
you're amazing. Thank you so much. Take care. See you soon.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, Ellen, fab show.
Wow. Oh, my God. We have to go to this. This sounds fun.
Oh, we absolutely do. We're overrun, so we're going to wrap it up quick. Thank you, guys, as always, for tuning in. And we'll be back next week with another amazing show. Until then, stay safe, have a good week, and we'll see you next Wednesday at 6 p.m. Ta-da.
Bye.